out. It was my tweet.
Oh, it was?
Yes, only me.
Well, then it caught on. And then for some reason, the guy who's in charge of drug testing with USADA, closely tied to the UFC, Jeff Nowitzki, decided to make a joke about drug testing.
Well,
you're like, wait, is this appropriate? I know it's dogs, but wait, you're in charge of something kind of big, Jeff.
Well, he is. I mean, he's basically in charge of the UFC's drug testing program, which means he was dealing with the John Jones stuff recently. Jeff Nowitzki, who is very well known for being the one that busted Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Lance Armstrong, he's like the top drug cop around. Now, John Jones has been dealing with his drug testing issues, and there's a whole thing about he only had a couple picograms, which is a very minuscule amount of a trace substance of the long-term metabolites of Tyrannobol. It's a whole thing, but picograms has become a big word in the drug testing community, particularly as it relates to the UFC. And after I said the dog should be tested, Jeff Nowitzki, who does follow me, who is somebody I work with, responded and just said picograms, which is hilarious. It was one of those things where you're like, all right, I think you're dealing with a major situation right here. Maybe not the best place, and it caught on. I mean, his tweet, which was just a reply to my tweet, was just being retweeted and liked all over the place and responded to. So it became, my tweet then became pretty big because of that, which, so thank you, Jeff. But I just thought it was a very interesting thing. But that may have been the greatest athletic performance I've ever seen. I think that's the most important thing here. I mean, that dog killed it. That dog attacked that course.
That wasn't natural.
And when, did you see how he went through that slalom? I've never seen anything like that. I was blown away. Now, also a good performance by the handler, who had to sprint after this poor dog.
I thought that was the crazy part. You know what I like, too? They had the, I don't know, what is it, like the tunnel? They have a little tunnel they go through. They had a tunnel cam, so you could see the dog go through the tunnel. That was cool.
I was very impressed by it. So I was not joking around about the dog. I could not believe that dog's performance. Now, that was the big thing from two nights ago at the dog show. Last night, everything changed because a new dog captured America's heart by doing the exact opposite. This dog just went after the course like it was a nice leisurely stroll on a Sunday, including like enjoying all of the obstacles. There's one where you have to climb like up a hill and then down the hill. The dog like got to the top of the hill contraption and just chilled. It was like, ah, this looks cool. I like it. It was at a very leisurely pace throughout the course. I can much more relate to this dog than the other dog.
Was that dog affected by some sort of drug?
Maybe. It might have been
some kind of downer.
Well, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been
a little too chill.
Yeah, might have smoked something. He's like, well, I mean, it literally was like he was looking at his owner, and I don't know if it was a boy or a girl. Could have been a girl dog. I don't know. And the dog was just like, yeah, I'll do it when I want to. Like, I'm good. Stop running. Don't yell at me. Like, I'm doing the stuff. I'm jumping these things. But chill. Let's relax and have a good time here.
Let's stay on this for a second. So you feed your dog or dogs pop cones?
Not so much recently, because the place that really was really good about the pop cones, they closed.
Okay.
Puppuccinos, though, yes.
You love the Puppuccinos, yeah. And you also get them facial scrubs.
Yeah.
Blueberry?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you started to delve into the world of CBD oils for the animals? To relieve pain and calm them down.
There's some. Yeah, they've tried them.
Do they work? I need advice on this.
I don't know.
You can't tell the difference on the dog?
No, I mean, like it's not like the dog's like, oh yeah, it feels better.
Why do you?
Like,
give,
I don't
why
know.
Do you give? Why do you? Which dog do you give it to? Lucy or what's the other one's name? Baron.
They've both tried. Yeah.
Barrett.
Yeah,
what's
Baron?
They've tried.
Making.
Why do you give it to
them? Making names great again.
Making names great again.
Lucy has a little bit of the arthritis, I think.
How do you know that?
Well, it's a little more difficult for her to jump into the car now. Hmm. Where she kind of like, instead, like she'll run to the car and then kind of pause and look and like, almost like, are you going to pick me up or do I have to make this jump?
Or is that part of the dog just being spoiled, which you've spoiled the dog rotten?
No, I know I have, but for as far as jumping in the car, like she was always very eager to jump in the car. Like you could tell, you can tell like a person if they're struggling to get around a little bit. Like you could tell, and she doesn't want to make the jump, and if she doesn't want to jump off something all the time because I think she knows it's going to hurt if she lands. But, you know, she's getting older. She's not, like, she's still getting around well. Every once in a while, you're like, oh, there's maybe a little pain there.
I'm just wondering if it works. We were actually discussing the idea the other day.
For the cat?
Yes. We have one cat that is just, she's neurotic, and she's just scratching all of her skin off, all of her fur off.
Oh, I don't know if it works. There is a fairly new shot. That we talked about this on the air, like, last year. That's really, because both my dogs are very bad, have very bad allergies. They take a lot of allergy pills, but they also get a shot.
They
do.
They're taking out. Yeah, what are you firing home? Zyrtec?
Benadryl.
And you know what? I think we've tried the Benadryl too. I don't do any of this.
No, but
I just pet them and put them out.
They help a little bit, but the shot is like amazing.
Really?
Yeah. It was life changing for them because they have really bad allergies.
Well, it's a good discussion for off the air. What's next?
Number four.
So I tweeted out
you're wrong about, actually, just to go back to it, sorry. Last time we did this, I don't think you were there.
There's massive interest.
It was so many people contacting me asking what the shot was.
Yep.
Yeah. Katie shot, I think it's called.
Back on the subject of emotional support, whatever. I sent out a picture on Saturday night. I'm hanging at a casino. There's a guy at a table. He had the biggest German Shepherd ever. As an emotional support dog, I labeled it the emotional support wolf. You would have been so afraid of this dog, because you hate big dogs.
Yeah, true.
It was massive.
It was like a pony.
It was well behaved, but the fur, the face, I mean, it looked like a killer. And I joked, I'm like, at any moment, this thing's going to ragdoll somebody.
Yeah, that's what I always think is going to happen. I think any dog, even the nicest dog possible, can just turn at any moment.
We joked about someone actually tried to claim there was an emotional support alligator, which is absurd.
I saw.
Is there a dog that's too big to be an emotional support dog? When it's wolf-like, it was a German Shepherd. It was a beautiful-looking dog, but I'm like, my God, really? And then I immediately got a couple of responses where people were like, I would have gone right to management and said, get the hell out of here.
Well, I think people are abusing the emotional support animal thing. We know one of them. I'm not going to sell him out again because I think I already did it once. Somebody that will be on the show today has an emotional support dog that he takes on the plane with him, which is ridiculous. It's just because he wants his dog to travel with him. And I know people do that. So, I get it. Like, I get the concept of emotional support animals too, but I think at some point you just got to be like, you're not bringing your dog. You're not bringing your, whatever, parrot, your alligator, whatever your... Whatever, you know, your emotional support squirrel is not coming on the plane. Sorry. Like, I just think, and not going into certain stores and areas also. Like, I get the concept. I'm not opposed to it on a, you know, not for the most part, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But I just think we need to draw the line at some point.
Top three stories.
Number three.
I just got infuriated by Twitter, by the way, too.
Why? What happened?
You know, did you see Papa John as a new team?
Oh, he dumped Louisville?
Yeah, he's a Kentucky fan now.
Oh.
He's in the first row behind the Kentucky bench tonight in all Kentucky garb. So I guess Kentucky was like, we'll take your money. We don't care how despicable you are and how you completely ruined this program up the road. Come here, we'll take your money. That is disgusting. Sorry.
Number three again?
That was
number three.
Three and a half.
That was a real opinion. That was a real opinion. You could tell that was not fake. That was organic. I don't know what's happening on some mornings on First Take. This is a weird one. There was no tampering with the Lakers and Ben Simmons. It came out yesterday. I thought Woj and I thought Ramona Shelburne were awesome on this. You know, the story came out. It was actually Ben Simmons' brother who made contact with the Lakers. It wasn't the Lakers making direct contact with Ben Simmons, because the whole setup was, hey, are the Lakers reaching out to Ben Simmons to try to talk to him, set up a conversation with Magic and Ben Simmons, and, you know, it turned into this whole rigmarole, right? Well, when they went through the whole timeline, by the evening yesterday, that was it. There was no tampering, okay? It was done. So then I see Will Cain ranting and raving about tampering, like, there's no tampering. And I guess the rant just needed to be thrown out there regardless of facts. So here was Will Cain talking about tampering. And there are some cases, I guess, that, you know, there's been legit tampering, but trying to have this whole sky is falling thing in the NBA.
The NBA needs to get a hold on its franchises. I think that it is bordering on the edge of lawlessness. This is almost chaos. And what is the impetus? Why is it happening? It's because the NBA's rules are not being uniformly enforced. They're not clear. They're bad. They're badly written, they're badly understood, and they're badly enforced. Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Giannis, and then do we count Kawhi or not? We just count Kawhi, some just rub people the wrong way. The point is this, if franchises believe that your rules do not apply to them, or your rules do not have much weight, then what's the point in having rules?
Okay. Now, the funny thing is here with this one is that Chrissy sent over that video. It was embedded in a story that says NBA finds no tampering. But his rant about tampering is in that story. Like, did they do it on purpose to make him look like an ass?
No, I think they just... there's a tampering video. We have a tampering video and a tampering story. Let's put that together.
Put it together.
I can tell you that a lot of people that are in charge of these things have no idea what they're doing. So I'm not that surprised about that.
Pulling back the curtain.
I've heard.
You've heard?
Yeah.
No direct experience with this?
No, I've heard. Somebody told me.
Here's the bottom line on this. There are no rules that can control it. The players are going to talk to each other. Now, should Magic be talking to players, like in official meetings? No, but even Magic, when he goes to All-Star Weekend, is going to talk to players.
Of course he is.
So you can't stop it.
No. And you're also, like, but...
If you really believe... Think about it. If you're in the city that is being threatened, if you really believe that you can't retain a player because you're having a casual conversation here or there with LeBron James or Magic Johnson, you got bigger problems. There's a lot more that should go into a decision than a five-minute conversation with one of the guys from the Lakers or from the Celtics.
Yeah, there should. But, I mean, the league also set up that whole draft thing, too. And that was just a basic... The All-Star draft was just encouraging guys to tamper.
Yep.
And they joked about it during the broadcast. You know, Giannis joked about it with LeBron tampering, but that's what it was. So you're going to suspend the rules right here. Okay, it's going to be all right here, but not here, and in this case you can't do it. Here you can. On Twitter you can't, but on a broadcast you can. The rules are just so... They're so difficult to enforce and so unclear that it's impossible. Like, you're just throwing things out there and like, well, yes and no, and maybe here, but not here. They don't know.
Top two stories.
Number two.
You're going to love this one. Yeah, I think you refuse to answer this on social media.
Probably.
What's your problem? Why are you not being friendly to our listeners?
I am friendly.
You didn't answer this one. It's right up your alley.
Oh, I because there is somebody that I do not discuss or talk about because I'm trying to think. There's a list of like 12 people in the world I just have zero use for.
Really?
This person, I can't even form an opinion or talk about.
Yes, you can.
I can't. I'll try for right now. For
so, Joe Vandermeer sent over a tweet. It was funny, right? You ever see the Spider-Man tweet where it's two Spider-Men?
Of course.
Pointing at each other like, whoa.
For everything.
Clone. Yeah, we're the same.
It's a meme. It's great.
Yes. He sent that over and just said, Kyler Murray and Doug Flutie. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
I mean...
You can do it. You can do it.
I feel bad for Kyler Murray if he's getting compared to that disgusting piece of garbage.
I tweeted something to the effect that if Kyler Murray's ceiling is Doug Flutie, then he should be a fourth or fifth round pick.
He shouldn't be drafted.
He could be a quality backup.
Or play some other position. He's not a quarterback.
And that's what Doug Flutie was a solid backup.
Who never should have been starting and was a cancer in the locker room. And a terrible person. A terrible person and a worse player. And that's the comparison? And you're trying to make it in a positive way?
You do realize he is going to have dozens and dozens of interviews the next couple of months on the whole short quarterback thing.
I hope there's no interviews on whether he wants to play football or baseball because he can't answer that question. We know that. He just stares at the camera and looks around waiting for
somebody
to say
Oh, Kyler Murray.
Something. Yes.
I thought you were going hardcore on Doug Flutie playing 50-plus-year-old baseball. He actually does. He's pretty good. Listen, fact is, Doug Flutie finally got his chance to be a starter in his mid to late 30s and was okay. The dude was 22-19 as a starter. He threw 54 touchdowns against 45 interceptions. He was a backup. And if Kyler Murray is Doug Flutie, then he can't be drafted by any NFL team in the first or second round.
No. If you told me...
And to your point, if he has the... You think that Doug Flutie was a low-character guy, then yes. You want no part of that part of Doug Flutie.
No. And I mean, I know that wasn't the comparison. The comparison was just he's a short quarterback who has been underrated and is going to, you know, finally find himself. Like, no. Kyler Murray he has more talent in his pinky toe than Doug Flutie had. Doug Flutie had nothing. He wasn't a good quarterback. He wasn't a good person. He was terrible at everything. So he threw one pass in his career that he tossed up in the air, and luckily somebody came down with it. Good for you. And then he ran a couple of nice bootlegs and scored touchdowns on them. Wonderful for you. Great job, bro. But you're not an NFL quarterback. You're not a starting quarterback. And if you're being compared to him, you don't want that guy that's being compared to him on your team. So I'm not going to compare Kyler Murray to him.
Our listener said it's actually a compliment. Both strong-armed, fast, undersized Heisman Trophy.
Strong-armed!
Flutie never got the shot he deserved until years later. D coordinators want nothing to do with Kyler Murray.
They don't, but they did want something to do with Doug Flutie. He sucked. He was terrible. Not a good player. So why would you put that on somebody? He's the next Doug Flutie. Oh, my God, run for the hills. You don't want that.
We only do it about once every 5 years, but when we do it, he's so exasperated.
It's so obnoxious. It's just completely
obnoxious.
You
have to relive it all over again. Adam was when Doug Flutie was playing for the Bills and the Chargers, man, he was beside himself all the time.
Zion Williamson is the next Chris Kamen. Wonderful. I can't wait. Good for him. Wow. Okay, let's draft him number one.
Top story.
Number one.
Well, I had no idea this was coming. I had no idea we were going to see this today. I'm shocked. Breaking news, Antonio Brown wants out of the Steelers.
What?
Yeah, I know. I hadn't heard anything about this.
I saw his video this morning. It was one of those things that you scroll. I don't know if everybody else does it. As soon as I wake up, I'm not even awake yet. I start scrolling through Twitter, and I saw the video, and I was like, "What? When did he put this out?
Like, he must have gotten traded.
Yeah,
like, it actually happened today. The deal went down,
yeah.
And it's over, and here's the goodbye.
And then I Googled, so I was like, all right, this is a cool tweet. I watched this video. I was like, okay. And then I Googled, like, where did he get traded to? Oh, wait, he's just saying he's done? Like, we knew that, I thought. Unless the Steelers came to him and said, hey, you want to trade? We're trading you. It's over. It's done. And then he decided, okay, I'm going to put this out. We all knew he wanted to be traded. We all knew he wanted out. Like, okay, I don't understand why you put this video out today, but it made things fun this morning, I suppose.
Let's play the video. It starts out with some music, and then there's some highlights. Who is this?
I think that's Antonio Brown. It's Lil Uzi Vert.
What?
Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay, Lil Uzi Vert. All right, here comes some highlights. I promise.
Antonio Brown is gone. Touchdown.
Ooh. Is gone. Now I do what I want.
Every guy in the helmet, every guy who was a part of this organization who was out here today, just wasn't about me. It was a collective effort from the team.
Well, a lot of past tense. Wasn't.
I see it, y'all was ready.
There he is with his buddy, his long-time buddy, Big Ben at the end. That's it. Goodbye video. AB announces today officially that he's gone from the Steelers. But he's not. And actually offshore on the odds board, Steelers are the second choice. So I have no idea what he's doing. Except it's a Tuesday and he was bored. And do you think he put this together himself? It was pretty well made.
I thought it was well made.
I couldn't do this.
I would, earlier you asked Scott Baer if you would trade for Antonio Brown if he was the Raiders. I would if I also needed somebody in my video editing department. If I was like, I need somebody to edit videos and play receiver, let me go get Antonio Brown.
Yeah. AB is going to live right near you and then drive over to the facility in the offseason and work in the video room.
Great selection of music. I mean, it told the story. He didn't even need to say anything.
Again, who was it?
Lil Uzi Vert. You're not a big fan?
I've heard the song before. I just don't know this person.
I believe he was in... I think he was in Robert Kraft's seat the other day at an NBA game. I think...
Wait, make that connection.
I don't know. I like, Twitter just runs my life, basically. I remember the other day somebody tweeting that Lil Uzi Vert sat in Robert Kraft's seat when he got up. And then Robert Kraft had to wait for him to be done talking so that he could... it was the 76ers-Lakers game. I'm looking at it right now, actually. And Robert Kraft got up from his seat. Lil Uzi Vert sat in his seat. And then Kraft had to wait for him to get up to move to get back there. But they were among the many celebrities that were there at the game the other day. Carson Wentz, Mike Trout, Meek Mill. It was a big day.
Wow. Are you surprised that he used someone as old as Lil Uzi Vert?
Wait, someone as old?
Yeah, it says here he's retired.
Wait, what?
I swear, on his wiki page, it says...
Retired rapper.
An American retired rapper, singer, okay. And songwriter.
Okay. That's
it. He's done at 24.
It's over. That is old for a rapper. 24, he's done. He's got nothing.
Yeah, get out. Get out with people wanting more. Why not?
That's great.
How old does this make you feel? Lil Uzi Vert. Grew up listening to Mike Jones and Ying Yang Twins. What? And now he's retired?
Why would you listen to Ying Yang Twins?
Because they're great?
No, for you, yes. No, Mike Jones, yes.
Were Ying Yang Twins the guys with the sweat dropping from their... Ooh.
Yes. I grew up on Mike Jones.
I love Mike Jones. I'm so embarrassed of you right now. No offense. Shake it like a salt shaker?
Yes.
That's who you're thinking of? And if you think that's good... We gotta have a serious talk after the show.
Stop. All of a sudden, now she's a hip-hop snob.
I am a hip-hop snob.
She is.
Adam, back me up on this, please.
No, you are.
Thank you.
For sure. Much more than Steve, that's for sure.
Well, I'm not a snob. Well, I'm a snob.
Yeah, you're a huge snob.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, yes. I got a little heated.
I'm impressed by Antonio Brown's filmmaking. I would say, until today... I thought A Star Is Born is the best film I saw this year.
I think you're being sarcastic.
Whoa!
I thought it was good. I cried. I laughed. Had a little of everything.
He tweeted out, "Thank you, Steeler Nation. This is Antonio Brown for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Peace sign. Hashtag new demands."
Now I do what I want.
Yep.
By the way, Lil Uzi also, he tweeted out yesterday that he's still retired and very happy he's not coming back.
That sucks.
Yeah. So that's sad for the music world.
So here are the key dates coming up for the Steelers. And Brown. Brown's due a roster bonus of $2.5 million on March 17th. If the Steelers trade him before that, they absorb a little over $21 million in dead money on their salary cap. After the 17th of March, it goes up about $2 million. Dead money on their cap is $23.6 million. July 10th, he's due a salary of a little over $12.5 million. By the way, he's due salaries all the way through 2021. It's actually sort of affordable. Yeah. 12, 11, and $12 million. The last key date, if they trade Brown after June 1st, then they could take the dead money and spread it over multiple years. So, what do you think's going to happen? The thing is, if it's for a draft pick, who's going to want to wait until after June 1st?
Right. I mean, you'd have to work it out and tell them who to draft for you.
Right.
And then you could fall in love with that player and be like, yeah, we're not trading him, man.
They have to wait, right?
I would think so,
It's going to have to be for a future first. If they're going to get a first-round pick, it's going to have to be for a future first.
Yeah, unless you do that, unless you work something out first. But then things could change. So, yeah, I think you'd be looking at them having to wait. And then a team that wants a draft pick having to wait even longer, which certainly drops the value.
And you are right. There is the risk. Hey, we've come to a gentleman's agreement that we're going to make the pick for you. What happens in the draft? All of a sudden, a player you really wanted slips 10, 15 spots. And you're like, we can't do this trade anymore.
Yeah, no, we're going to take this guy now. We're good. And we've worked out something else with a different team.
Does Antonio Brown sending out this video hurt the Steelers at all? Like, does it push them into further into a corner where everyone in the league hey, you know what? We don't have to offer anything, man. The guy said he's gone.
Everyone knew. Everyone knew already. Yeah. I don't think there was much mystery about that one.
And it sounds like the good thing for the Steelers is, one, Brown isn't demanding he goes to one spot, which is always a freaking killer.
Yeah.
And two, it looks like there's multiple suitors.
Oh, yeah, there will be. I mean, again, people are going to try to use this as, you know, leverage and say, well, you need to get rid of him. But in the end, most teams are going to want him. So, you know, there will be a market for him, and, you know, they will be able to, you know, play teams off of each other and try to get even more for him. But there's going to be a market for Antonio Brown.
Real quick, before you get out of here, the game tonight, VGK is at home. Arizona is the opponent. It is a 7:05 start. The number's all the way up to 255 in some spots. What do you do? Is that a stay away in hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's too big to really lay. Like, I do expect a big effort from the Golden Knights today. I think they're fuming a little bit coming off that last game. And, you know, those games are tricky when you come off a long road trip. They hadn't played a home game in, like, 3 weeks. They were coming off a long trip. Those are always difficult because you get home and try to adjust to being home again and then go out and play. They had gotten home 5 a.m. the day before. And it's all – listen, there's all always a reason or excuses or anything like that. But there was a lot of factors going against them in that last game. I think that they are a little bit angry and ready to come out. And they've played traditionally pretty well against Arizona, who is an okay team, not great. There's a lot of reasons to think the Knights are going to play really well today. Brandon Peary back in the lineup after 2 games out. You expect something big from him, and that third line has had no production. So for him to be out there and to try to maybe generate some offense for that third line with Cody Eakin, who showed that he can be fine if he doesn't have Zekov and Nosek with him, because as soon as they were out of the game, he scored. So I think Peary out there with him helps that third line. The first line is really rounding into form again with Riley Smith back. The second line has always been good, and the fourth line has Will Carrier back. So there's a lot of things going in the right direction for the Knights right now.
We come back. We'll start getting into this Air Force game tonight at UNLV. Yes, we're at the Thomas and Mack as we're going down with a 7:30 start running Rebel warm-up. We'll carry it all the way until 7 o'clock with John and Robert.
Now, back to the Thomas and Mack for more Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Romantic, huh? Valentine's week? Sure. Come on, Eileen. I like it. All right, rolling on here as we head to 7 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack for running Rebel warm-up and then 7:30 tip as Air Force is in town. One note from earlier in the day. We had a truncated conversation with Gary Parrish, excellent college basketball analyst and radio host, but is with CBSSports.com, and he was on to talk about the coaching for literacy theme that's going down tonight around this game. The coaches are all going to be wearing green ties, and you can go to coachingforliteracy.org to get information on the cause. He actually got pulled away during the interview abruptly because there was one of the games on CBS is St. Bonnie's and St. Joe's. There was apparently a bent rim at the St. Joe's game, so they had to fill some time on the sports network, CBS Sports Network. Whew. The break didn't help St. Joe's. They're down 74-44 in that one with just a couple of minutes left. I don't think Phil Martelli's in good shape at St. Joe's. So let's set this game up. Air Force is in town, and this is a very underrated rivalry. There's something between these teams where Air Force is always described as the gritty, gutty, limited team. And, of course, here in town, UNLV always has super high expectations and in many cases, ridiculous expectations. And on the gambling front, it sets up a line that's screwy every time these teams meet, where Air Force is not given enough respect, and maybe UNLV doesn't give Air Force enough respect, and Air Force usually plays well, to the point where now Air Force has won 8 straight against the spread in the series. They're usually high-scoring games. Overs come in 11 of 13 meetings. But Air Force has won this game via the spread 8 straight times. And when we talk about history, there's been a couple of interesting moments over the years. We can go back a few years ago, back to 2016, and I was irked at the time, and I'm still a bit irked by what happened at Air Force. Earlier in the season, it's funny that Adam Hill's not here yet, or here anymore. He's going over to the hockey game. We were just talking about the net rankings and how Eric Musselman is handling the net rankings. Right now, the way the rankings work, the way the numbers work, you're encouraged to destroy your opponent and play every single minute like it matters, every single possession like it matters, and that's why you see in a couple of spots, Reno is throwing alley-oops up 14, 18, 20. It's stupid, but that's a system, right? But we know forever coaches expect other coaches to treat them with respect if they're annihilating them. And that happened back in that 2015-16 season. Dave Rice and company were reeling. They broke out. They had a big game against Air Force, and they won 164 on this floor here at the Thomas and Mack. So it goes up to Clune, and the Rebels didn't play well. Didn't win the game. Then a story pops up in our local paper. And broad brush statements bother me. Because everyone on the team or a team isn't the same. Everyone at a workplace isn't the same. And the headline at the time was, in battle of pride and toughness, UNLV takes hard fall. And much of the column was about how, from a character standpoint, UNLV couldn't match up with Air Force. And there were some guys on that UNLV team who were disrespectful, didn't carry themselves in the best fashion, and Dave Filipovich ate it up. I mean, he even said it. He's like, oh, I remember the 36-point loss. Oh, I remember. That's not very Air Force-like. How about win and move on? But he was all about, oh, we outfought them in the game. We were tougher. We had more heart. I don't think you can measure the cadet's heart. So that stuck with me because it bothered me. I don't, again, if you want to go after, and no one's going to go after individual players, very rarely in college basketball are people going to do that. But I didn't like the blanket statement about the entire UNLV roster lacked heart, couldn't measure up to Air Force. It didn't sit well. And I had a chance that first game this year when Air Force blew out the Rebels 106-88, and there was a ton of fans there. Cadets showed up, for Air Force, a ton of fans showed up. 1,500, 1,700, they pour in, they make a lot of noise, really throw off the Rebels. I remember seeing there were a couple things that bothered me in the game. One was a sign that said, UNLV can't read this sign. And I remember hearing Joe Esposito, UNLV assistant, is doing his Cup of Joe interview with John and Robert on Running Rebel warm-up. And Joe saw it, and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, he was really annoyed. He's like, we can't read. Like, he took it seriously. Can't read. We have a 3-0. We're making amazing academic progress. Like, he was really insulted by it. And I thought to myself, wait, you're playing Air Force, and it's all about dedication and respect and the highest level students. And I heard this morning Dave Filipovich on the press box talking about how they recruited an Ivy League level. And I don't think this is insulting anyone who goes to the academy. You are expected to carry yourself a certain way. Now, I think people hear this and they're like, oh, it's just a game. Is it? Is it when you hold up a sign like UNLV can't read, right? Then you follow that up multiple times throughout the game, which, by the way, they enjoyed the hell out of that game. And there's no doubt in my mind that the way UNLV reacted during its 164 win 3 years ago with Dave Rice on the sidelines, they enjoyed it, believe me. They celebrated. Air Force was plenty celebratory in this 106-88 game earlier in the season when UNLV, got embarrassed defensively. They enjoyed themselves. They were also chanting USA, USA, which, again, I don't I don't know if anyone's thinking through the impression that you're giving, chanting USA, USA. Especially with the UNLV roster. Do you think any of the kids got insulted by that? The kids from Cameroon or Mali or Senegal or the Congo. Again, another player from Cameroon. We're talking JTT, Joel Tombwe, Mbake Zhang, Chekna Dembele. I don't think Bungai was on the trip. But I wonder what the impression from the African-born players was. And I think even worse than that, when you pair it with USA chants and UNLV can't read the sign, and you've got kids on the roster from cities like Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, another Detroit, Newark, New Jersey. I don't know. I thought it was a bad look. And I hear all the time about respect and dedication and next-level kids. And then the interesting thing after the game is Air Force would like you to stand there right after the game, and they've got a salute to the academy. They have a short song. Everyone, they'd like everyone to stand, both teams. And this is after you lose. After you're having USA, USA chanted at you, and you're looking at signs that say you can't read, you're supposed to immediately snap into, it's time to show respect. I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way. And it goes back to the 2016 game. There's something between these two teams that's a little bit off. And, you know, even hearing the Air Force coach this morning talk about kind of woe is me and our limitations and I don't know. I ran it by vets in my family, and they were like, yeah, that is a little bit screwy. I could see how that could be taken the wrong way. So I don't know that the folks at Air Force are ever going to tell the kids, hey, you know what, we can have fun. I don't love the USA chant. I don't really get it. You're going against another team of, you know, in this case, UNLV's got, you know, half the roster are American-born. What does USA, USA mean? Right? And I know a lot of people are going to hear it, and they go, oh, it's all in good fun. Okay, well then, but then you can't be all stringent about rules and respect in a 100-64 game 3 years ago and say, you know, you're not allowed to celebrate. You're being insulting. You're not being classy, but then you've got your fans, your cadets, not being classy the other way. Were we playing by the same rules or not? What are we doing here? All right, game's coming up at 7:30. I assume with some of that stuff, I don't even know if that's been discussed. I do know on the pregame show, Joe Esposito, UNLV assistant, saw that sign about UNLV can't read the sign and was like, whoa, what is this? So I know he was worked up. I have no idea if he mentioned it to the players. I don't even know if they saw it. I don't know if they heard the USA chant. If anything, at a minimum, the 106-88 beatdown should be fresh in their memories. The game's coming up here. The tip is in about an hour and 45 minutes, and I would assume we'll get into this with assistant coach Eric Brown, also Mike Romala. I would assume the Rebels would come out on fire. I would be shocked. If they have another slow start, what is going on? But we're going to find out. 7:30 tip here at the Thomas and Mack between Air Force and UNLV.
It's Cofield and Company's.
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
A little over an hour left in the show. Cofield and Company here, Thomas and Mack on the concourse, getting you set up for Air Force and UNLV. Look around the conference. Tonight's games, Air Force catching 9 in this one. And we've mentioned how competitive this series has been. Air Force has actually won 8 in a row against the spread. Going back straight up, UNLV in the last 10 only with a 6-4 edge, and that includes the most recent game on January 16th when Air Force shot over 60%. Now, what was the points per possession? It was something crazy like 1.35 points for possession or points, per possession. Optimally, you just want to be over 1. It was one of the great offensive games anywhere in the country. Air Force delivered 106 points against UNLV, but pretty heated rivalry. 9 tonight is the number in this one. Also on the slate, 30 minutes after UNLV and Air Force tip, San Diego State is at Colorado State. That is a trap spot. San Diego State so up and down this year. This is the kind of game that they should win, but based on SDSU's unevenness throughout the whole season, I wouldn't go with them. And Colorado State has also been uneven, up and down in its play, but on its home floor, I don't know if a crowd will be there, but that's probably the game I would take the dog. Tomorrow's games, a couple of one-sided affairs, San Jose at New Mexico, Wyoming at Utah State, and then interesting game. We just saw Fresno State come in here and really put on a clinic on the Rebels to start the game and to close the game. As they got off to a great start, the game got down to 55-50, and then Fresno closed with a bang as they wound up winning by 18 after only being up 5. They're laying 6.5 against Boise. I was not impressed by Boise State at all, and I think that's the kind of team that you can actually break, and Fresno is the kind of team that can break them, so we'll see what happens in that one tomorrow with the number at 6.5. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Chrissy, you'll be happy to hear we just had Howard stop by, one of our fans.
What up, Howard?
He's very fired up. He's like, what show is this? And Jeff says, Cofield and Company. I say one word, and he's like, oh, that's you. I'm like, all right, cool deal. Cool deal.
And then he was just like, gotta go.
And then he had to go to work. Yeah, he's working here at the Thomas & Mack. We actually had from SNWA on the halftime of the Rebels game on Saturday, we had a guy named Corey on, and Corey was very cool as well, as he gave us all the information on saving water and making sure you're watering when you're supposed to, and he actually explained the whole system of being able to snitch on your neighbors, right? Oh. You're supposed to water on a certain day, and did I give it away when he was like, well, you know, if you're not watering on your designated day, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, crap, shouldn't have said that.
I didn't even know there were, like, water restrictions. Well, I guess it says the desert, right?
Yes, yeah, we're trying to save water. They want you to rip out all the grass. They have a rebate, and they want you to go with a desert-friendly landscape. So lots of rocks and minimal plants.
Well, I don't have any plants, I guess, so I don't think they would survive.
Your story of the day,
yes,
is actually not pulling up now. The headline was, does this look like the face of a guy arrested for projecting porn on his garage?
Yes, that was my story of the day.
Did you actually see the... Was there a mugshot of the guy?
Yes, there was.
Did he look like a guy who would project porn onto his garage?
Honestly, no. That was.
What does that guy look like?
I'm curious.
Don't say me, by the way.
I'm curious what you think that person would look like. Because I would think a Steve Cofield.
I wouldn't think of me specifically. I think of this mustache I have right now,
yes,
though, because I'm kind of rocking that.
Like an Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite?
Sure, yeah. The van with the little window in the back.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well, that's not me. It's just a mustache.
Okay, well then, so just the mustache, and, like, this guy just seemed like he had better things to do. He was, like, a younger guy, and...
You sound like you're interested.
I mean... There is this show called Love After Lockup, so if he gets locked up, I can, like, send him a letter in jail, and who knows?
Back in the
match
bag.
Match made in heaven.
Just get
Stick
out of this.
Put your hand in there, dude.
Yes, your new love interest. Garage porn guy. Which, by the way, if you type in garage porn, it's an entirely different search that comes up. It did not work for me at all. Yeah, it didn't work at all. This rumor, I think, is ridiculous, but it keeps coming up. So now I'm starting to think there's something wacky going on here. The Cardinals drafting Kyler Murray and dumping Josh Rosen, people keep talking about it. To the point where Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, had to come out today and say, we're committed to build with the core we have. I don't know if I saw him say we're committed to Josh Rosen, which if he didn't, that's telling. And your guy, Kingsbury, came out again and said, we're committed to Josh Rosen. Now I'm starting to believe there's something going on here. There's actually New England's getting crazy about this, too, because now somehow New England's tied into this, that New England, I guess, would draft Kyler Murray, and then they would get Josh Rosen in a trade to be the quarterback of the future behind Tom Brady.
Something seemed weird about this article to me. I'm not trying to hate on Rosen, but I'm sort of...
But you're going to.
Let's be honest. Like, who would you rather have? And like,
I'd rather have,
like,
Josh Rosen.
Like, let's build our team around Josh Rosen, who's done nothing but disappoint everybody.
Chrissy. He's been there. He's been there for 1 year.
For one whole season.
And they were terrible.
Yes, they were.
So I'm not trading Josh Rosen so I can have Kyler Murray.
I think that's...
But mark this down. May be another... I'm also the guy who said that Zeke Elliott absolutely was not worth a top five pick. And I didn't really nail that one. And I also said that Pat Mahomes would be very up and down this year.
Wow.
So this could be another wonderful prediction on my resume.
I've marked it.
You've time marked it so you can play it back and mock?
In fact, I might just like call him up and be like, hey, just have a real, real bad year.
That's what the show is all about. I don't think a player is going to make a sacrifice for the show, though. Good try.
Never know.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We're actually going to stick our hand in a break. How about that? Let's go to break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Eric Brown, one of the assistants from UNLV. Mike Romalis coming up in the back end of the hour in the Rebels tip at 7:30 tonight against Air Force.